From RunAsRadio.com, you're listening to Run As Radio, the internet audio talk show for IT professionals with Richard Campbell. This is Brandon Wen announcing show number 559, Power BI Reporting with guest Jason Himmelstein, recorded Tuesday, October 31st, 2017. Run As Radio is produced each week by Pwop Productions, providing professional media and podcasting services online at pwop.com. You can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/runasradio.
Thank you, Brandon. This is Richard Campbell. And thanks for listening to Run As Radio. I am in Las Vegas at the MGM Grand at Dev and SharePoint Intersection and had an opportunity to sit down with Jason Himmelstein, who is the Technical Strategy Director at Rackspace, as Microsoft SharePoint MVP and IT Pro Solutions Architect with many, many years. We're all getting old. And also the author of the O'Reilly book, Developing Business Intelligent Apps for SharePoint.
Yes, sir.
Welcome, sir. And kind of embarrassed you've never been on Run As before.
I'm thoroughly honored to be on Run As because this is, one of those shows that, I listen to on a regular basis.
Oh,
it's really
awesome.
Cool to be able to actually be a part of this. So, I know you're in the 500s. I've got a little podcast that we published episode 21 today.
Nice.
You're like the godfather of technology podcasting for a lot of us. So this is a huge honor for me to be here.
Well, I'm glad you're here. And what's the name of the show?
Bifocal dot show is what it is.
It's awesome.
A focus on business intelligence with Power BI being the core of all of that. So Office 365 SharePoint is a part of my DNA, but Power BI really is the thing we talk most about these days, the on-prem story when it comes to it. But we try to sprinkle in what's happening in the general BI space every once in a while. But we're Microsoft geeks.
It's what we talk about. And certainly you have a very strong background in SharePoint as well, which sort of factors into this in the way we present business intelligence within an organization.
Yes.
That to me strikes me as SharePoint as the portal.
Yes.
To the company's resources.
Yeah. It used to be that SharePoint was, you would build SharePoint on top of, BI on top of SharePoint.
Sure.
And now it's a better with story. It's
right.
A better together rather than, hey, you've got to have SharePoint and then you layer in BI. It's totally different these
days. You don't install SharePoint because you want BI. You had SharePoint and BI works and plays well with it.
So it's, Power BI really has come to bear and is playing a nice role at this point. And I think that the product team has finally landed on a model from a licensing perspective that makes sense for the enterprise, and it still makes sense for the smaller customers as well.
That's really challenging. And what is the licensing model?
So there are a couple of different ways that they do licensing, which is kind of unique because they have a free version, which anybody can use Power BI, and you have to have an Azure AD account,
right?
Not an Office 365 account, not a SharePoint Online account, just an Azure AD account, and then you go into app.powerbi.com, and you can do all sorts of BI visualizations there on your own. But when you want to play with others and you want to share anything, there is a licensing cost to it. So there's
once you find some value in the business intelligence,
correct.
Now we want you to pay for
correct.
It.
Correct. So
that's fair.
Yeah. And there's a trial out there, which is really nice. So you can model yourself the way you want to and get things looking really cool and then do a trial and try things out and share. So all the sharing functionality comes under behind the paywall.
Right.
But so if you're using just Power BI Pro licensing, which is, $9.99, $10 per user per month, basically, it adds into very nicely into an Office 365 E3 SKU, but it actually is a part of the Office 365 E5 SKU. So you already have that.
If you're running that level of Office 365.
Correct. But they changed things up a little bit on us very recently, and they added in a couple of more Azure SKUs. So they have what's called an A, an EM, and a P SKU now. The A SKU is targeted directly at the ISVs. It's for embedded content. So they have the ability to create an app and do embedded content, and the ISV or whoever's paying for it pays for those clicks at that point.
Interesting.
And then you move up to the EM SKU, which EM, you would think embedded, but it's actually for embedding. which is semantic language here, but it's targeted for users who, because if you want to be able to use the Power BI web part in SharePoint Online, or if you want to be able to visualize in Dynamics 365,
right,
or in Microsoft Teams, you have to be covered either by a Power BI Pro license, or you can have this EM SKU, which gives you dedicated capacity for running those reports, and it's based on cores and things like that. So you have the EM SKU, which is specifically for embedding,
right,
which is covering those users who are going to go off and visualize. And then you have the P SKU, which is that more, and this is the premium side of things. You have the A SKU is the embedded, and then you have EM, which is part embedding, of premium, and P, which is part of premium. A little bit confusing with the naming, I know. But the fun of it is that the P side of things actually gives you the ability to use Power app.powerbi.com and share from there as well.
Oh, interesting.
Share with workspaces and different, you know, out of your workspace. So it's a little bit of a different animal. So it's a nice way of going up that stair step. And my co-host on the Bifocal show, John White, actually has a really great article on his blog, which is at whitepages.unlimitedviz.com.
Nice.
So you can go check out, we put together the right model of how does that, you know, how does it all work and what do you get with each thing? And Microsoft, we reached out to Microsoft and said, is this the right way to explain it? And they went, yes, is it okay if we put that in our own internal wiki? We're like, yay. So
you clearly nailed it when they're going to reference you for this is how to explain this.
Yeah. So it's a really nice, nice way that they're doing it now. Companies aren't really thrilled because they think everything should be free.
Yeah, of course.
But you know, I look at it and I see a lot of Salesforce Compete stuff these days. And I don't know, that license is super expensive in comparison with
Salesforce isn't free.
You know, with what you're paying for Office 365 plus Dynamics 365, you know, or just Microsoft 365 and then add in some Power BI and some other stuff, you're still way under the cost. So it's like, don't talk to me about cost if you're getting the real benefit of this massive suite of things compared to, you know, Salesforce is amazing. Don't get me wrong, but it's a single slice of the things.
It's your CRM solution and a good one.
Yeah.
And one that integrates pretty well with Azure too.
It really does. Yeah. And you know, for me, I do a lot of Power BI reporting against Salesforce because I work at Rackspace and we use Salesforce. It's one of the tools that we use to manage our business, but its reporting capabilities are not all that pretty, just to be blunt about it. With Power BI, I can, you know, slice and dice my data and I can go against their API and just go in and grab the data and grab my reports out, visualize it the way I want to. Man, it's nice and easy. And my management chain, the executives get to look at it and go, wow, we can visualize our data this way in a totally interactive way.
So, and then it's the interesting part about when you publish a Power BI report, it's still an interactive piece of analysis.
Yeah.
So you've done the initial analytical work to give a view to data. Then the way you distribute that, it's still live, so to speak.
Correct. So the benefit is that you have the ability to go off and do the refresh.
Right.
And, you know, when you go into the premium SKUs, that refresh number changes to whatever you want to do. But with the pro license, you can go up to 8 times a day and refresh your data. So for most businesses, that's good enough.
You know,
for what I'm doing, I go off and I generally, because I'm, you know, we're international with Rackspace. So I have an office in Australia. I have an office in the UK. I've got an office in the US that I personally work with. So I make sure that twice a day for each one of them, data is refreshed.
Right.
So at the beginning of their business day, their data is refreshed. And then sort of midday around lunchtime, everything gets refreshed again. So it makes life a lot easier to know that you're looking at the freshest data possible.
Now, from a reporting perspective, I've always found it challenging to show someone a report that looks, say, over a week and include the incomplete day. Because those numbers don't look the same.
Correct. Like,
part of this has to be how you visualize that to make people comfortable with the fact of, no, we're not having a bad day. It's only 9 a.m.
Yeah. So you're not looking at real-time data.
Sure.
In a lot of these reporting scenarios from a Power BI perspective, there is a way to do that. You know, stream analytics and all sorts of other stuff. Direct query, you can go off and pull fresh live data on the fly. However, for most people, near real time is good enough.
Well, and I like the complete working unit, like the last complete day or the last complete month is much more measurable data.
So one of the things that I really enjoy about Power BI is the ability to drop in when the last refresh was, directly on the report itself.
Right.
You know, when you can see it in the dashboard. So if you go in and you share a dashboard, it shows you, you know, there's an option there that's a simple tick box that says, when was the last refresh date for this? And when you click through, you can have that there as well. So personally, I like to throw that on the screen so that people actually see it and know, oh, well, this data wasn't refreshed. And, you know, 2 days ago, there was maybe a problem and they're not getting the email.
They haven't got the reconciliation yet.
But it shows right there on the screen, oh, this was 2 days ago. I'm not stressed anymore.
Right.
We've had sales since then.
Yes,
it's okay.
Stuff has happened.
Yeah.
But I do think it's interesting that, you know, when you're providing updates multiple times a day, it's not about updates for that current day. It's about completing reconciliations for earlier in the period, wherever that may be.
So, yeah. And being able to refresh 8 times a day just with the pro license means that I can go off if I'm an 8-hour business day, I can have it refresh on the hour, be able to see that transaction throughout the day.
If you care.
And have a specific report that just shows me current day. And I can leave off current day in my other reporting that's trailing reporting.
Right.
That's that rear view mirror type of a model.
Mindset.
But be able to go in and say, you know what? I do care about today's day and how are we doing? How are other places dealing with things? And I want to be able to see that data and have it refreshed 8 times a day. I can do all of that.
So but I think it's interesting to talk about the structure of that report to say, if we're looking at a fraction of a day, then let's link the unit measure the hour.
Yep.
And so now we're looking across hours and, hey, we can pick multiple days back or multiple same day of the week across multiple weeks, but only look at the same hours.
Yeah.
So you're not confusing anybody.
Correct. And the nice thing with Power BI is the paginated view of it. It's not a paginated report the way that analytical reports are. This is interactive, but you can have one report that has multiple pages to it. So you can have a single report that contains multiple different models within the same report. So I can see maybe I have one page that is designed to show me, you know, the today date information, and I can have 3 other reports that show me this week, last month, and then this quarter.
Right.
And all in the same space, because that's what this particular person who's going to consume that report actually cares about. So lots of really great ways that you can
slice. And you are going to structure, I mean, it's all the same data set, you're just expanding that, but I think you're going to structure the reporting a little bit differently.
Correct.
Because the periods look a little different as well. So I think it's an important part of the equation. It's kind of fun to work through those models. Who do you see building these reports? Does this go to the regular mortal user, or do I need special skills?
So anytime you're dealing with analysis, you have to have somebody who can help you get to the right data set, the right data source. But what I have traditionally found is if you're handing the data to an analyst who isn't connected to the reporting and doesn't understand what do I care about, you're not going to get the reports right. So
it really frightens me when you get reports built on wrong data and can lead people down astray, essentially.
Correct. So oftentimes there's sort of a middle point where you need a data scientist to create the connections for you and be able to pull things in and mash up the data, you know, use Power Query properly, pull things in the right way, but then hand it over to the person who's actually going to consume, spend some time. And I'll give you an example. I have some amazing folks down in our Australia office who I, you know, there are 2 ladies specifically down there who I showed Power BI to, helped them get their connections set up. And I spent half an hour with each one of them. And I was like, guys, I got to head out. I'm heading for the airport. Came back 4 months later and they showed me what they'd been doing. And it blew me away. They had completely understood the model of Power BI, how they were dealing with sharing all of the reports that they had generated. I looked at it and I went, you're awesome. That was, so for me.
So when it's the right people.
Correct. It's the person who wants to see the data and understands how to visualize that data. What's the vision in their head of, you know, so when I did consulting back in the day, I'm a dad. So I always wore a sports coat and invariably I always carried crayons and some paper.
Sure.
Cause my kids were younger at that point. Yeah. So when somebody would tell me, yeah, I really want to do reporting, blah, blah, blah. I was like, hang on. I grab out the crayons and piece of paper. I was like, draw for me the thing that's in your head.
Sure.
Visualize it on a piece of paper.
With a crayon.
With a crayon. How you want to see this. And then we'll take it and we'll figure out. Because I can take that drawing. I could take it to a data scientist. They're going to go, oh, you know, I'm going to work with the DBA. I'm going to get the tables left join, right join. And the user goes, I don't understand the term. Are we joining a meeting? So no, it's so when we bring them back the right data set and they look at it and they start dragging elements into a report, all of a sudden the light clicks for them.
Right.
And it works really well. So it's a combination. In order to get good reporting,
right,
it's a combination therein.
So you've got to build a sort of a safety pen around the data structures so that they can work, they can do some filtering and some limited joining.
Yeah.
But don't go off into the weeds and don't have to understand core database architectural elements that might actually mislead them.
Yeah. So the other example I'll give you is, I recently changed roles inside of Rackspace, mm-hmm. but my team, before that, we did do advisory services, and I told them, I said, guys, and ladies, I need from you a weekly update on what's going on with our customers. Mm-hmm. I said, I can build you a beautiful thing in SharePoint. I can write you a custom app. I can do a whole bunch of different things. They looked at me and went, Jason, can't we just do this in Excel and be done? Like, yeah, actually we can.
You can feed the data into Excel. It makes you happy.
Exactly. So, we had, probably 10 columns across the top. Very simple. They just came in and updated the date manually. They filled in new customers. There were two tabs. One's active customers. One's, canceled customers. Mm-hmm. And they just updated that data. And I went off and I put it in a SharePoint site and I attached Power BI to it, sucked the data in, modeled it the way I wanted, created the report that looks like it's coming out of massive data sets and all of this, and passed it off to executives and went, hey guys, here's how we're doing. It's going to refresh daily. And the team would go off and update their stuff weekly, but
right.
they could go in and take a look. Anytime we have a new customer, the numbers would change and here you are.
Nice.
So simple out of Excel, but that was a great way for an end user to be able to visualize in a different way.
That's Excel as a data source then.
Correct.
Effectively.
So instead of going off to, Azure SQL databases or SharePoint lists or anything right. like that, easiest way for my users to deal with that one particular task.
Right.
Instead of making them change the way they work,
yeah.
they asked, can't we just do it this way?
Yeah.
And yes, you can, because I can report the way that I need to.
Yeah, from that data set.
Correct.
Jason, give me one moment here to pay the bills. This episode of Run As Radio is brought to you by the Humanitarian Toolbox. Humanitarian Toolbox builds open source software for disaster relief organizations. One of our leading projects, called Already, focuses on getting volunteers into the right place at the right time. HTBox is deploying this application in the field in the first half of 2017, and they need your help. Go to htbox.org for more information or to make a tax-deductible donation. HTBox is a 501c3 U.S. registered charity. And we're back. This is Richard Campbell here in Las Vegas at Dev Intersection, talking to Jason Himmelstein. And we're diving into some Power BI and the context around all of that. It reminds me of good query-by-example reporting back in the day. What makes it business intelligence rather than just reporting?
So business intelligence is a fun term
yep.
that gets thrown around a lot. Personally, for me, it's business intelligence when you use the data to be able to run your business.
Right.
How do you need to see the data, and how, instead of just flying by the seat of your pants and hoping that you're doing something right.
Yep.
Running a business based upon the analytics of your business.
Right. Metrics that matter.
That's what it's all about. Mm-hmm. So, John likes to say that, without data, we're just all a bunch of people going off in different directions.
Yeah.
So when you're driven by your data and you're able to look at it in the right way, you're able to understand the trends, you can actually drive your business intelligently.
Sure.
So for me, that's the way it breaks down is, and you can do it any which way. People do business intelligence in Excel. They do it in all sorts of, programs. You can use QuickBooks, however you want to do it.
Yeah.
It's a matter of what's the tooling that's going to make your job the easiest. And for me, there are a couple of things that are required for that. Refresh of data, build it once and not have to build it again, but be able to know that things are on track and be able to see the historical as well as trend forward.
Mm-hmm.
And with Power BI, I get all of that capability. So, and I'm able to stick that report in a lot of different places so that people can consume it in a very logical way that fits into their world.
Right. Whatever that happens to be. The line I've used recently that people seem to like is taking data and organizing so that it's in formation.
Yeah.
Right, AKA information.
It
actually means something, right? That it you put it in a form that actually educates us about where we're going, what we're doing, what problems we have, or what we actually gonna be able to address. But the funny thing there is that it's always been presented as a different product than tabular reporting.
Mm-hmm.
And it ultimately, if any report creates an action, to improve the business. It's the same thing.
Yes.
It's just a question of what information you get. Although, admittedly, Power BI is cloud.
It
so
is.
So, it's kind of this initial statement of you've got to get some stuff to the cloud. That story you're telling before the break there about the Excel spreadsheets, you've got them posted into SharePoint. I presume that was SharePoint Online.
It is, actually.
And so, that gave Power BI access to it all.
Correct. Now, the other twist that has happened recently is Microsoft announced Power BI Report Server,
right,
which is an on-prem product.
Interesting.
So it sits, it is a superset on top of SQL Server reporting services. So, one of the great things we had, I had the opportunity when I was out at Ignite recently. God, it was almost a month ago, wasn't
it? Yeah. Time flies, my friend.
Yes, it really does. So John and I had the opportunity to do the Bifocal podcast live at the Podcasting Center. And we had Christopher Finland from Microsoft on, who owns Power BI Report Server for Microsoft and the SSRS experience. We got to talk to him. There's a whole episode that you can go out and listen to of our show where he talks about it. But Power BI Report Server is very powerful because there are a lot of people who look at Power BI and say, I want, but I'm only on-prem. And now you can visualize the PBIX format, which is the backing report format for Power BI,
right,
in an on-prem methodology.
Yeah, it almost sounds like a new version of SSRS.
It absolutely is.
Right.
And the cool thing is that you can sort of pick and choose one or the other. You don't, if you are going to run Power BI Report Server, you don't need to run SSRS because it is SSRS.
Interesting.
So you get that ability to still do all the paginated reports and all the other stuff, but it's not required to have yet another instance. So, but there's
how
a whole
portable
licensing
is what
component
gets made on the report server to the Azure version. Are they the same? Can I take a report that I made for my BI report server and push it up to Azure?
So you can go ahead and do the same thing. It's a matter of where the data sources that it's talking
right
to. And if you are running the on-premises data gateway, you can port back into your on-premises, data sources. So it's a matter of there are a lot of folks that are looking at saying, I'm not ready fully to go into the cloud for my reporting. I want to keep this on-prem. But you have that ability to, using the on-premises data gateway from Azure, be able to, from Power BI, to go ahead and reach back in and talk to on-prem data sources. But you can take that same report format. There's a little bit of trickiness to which version of Power BI desktop you're using.
Interesting.
Because the Power BI report server has a specific version that it's trying to use.
Okay.
And then whatever the latest and greatest. And they just changed the Power BI desktop model about a week and a half ago.
Oh my.
So it comes through the store now.
Right.
Which is really great because you don't have to have admin credentials in order to reinstall, which
it's not just IT that's going to push new versions now.
So it's now truly an end user tool.
Interesting.
And the deployment method is really nice because it's happening in the background. We used to have to, once a month when they pushed a new version of the desktop, have to go download, separate install, let it update. You'd forgotten to close it, so you have to go back and close desktop and then try and rerun. And you have to elevate permissions. Now it all works through the store, which I'm very excited for because
it makes your life a little easier.
I working at Rackspace, my laptop is locked down. My IT security, they're top notch.
Yep.
So, I'm not allowed to have credentials to be able to do admin-y things on my own laptop.
Sure.
Which is the right way of doing business.
Yeah.
But, it's one of those things where for a long time I didn't have this ability. So now I do. So I can take a Power BI report from Power BI report server if I'm ready to transition up into Power BI in the cloud. I have that capability.
Yeah, I have that option. And I think it's, people don't care where the reporting runs from. People care where the data lives.
Correct.
And that's ultimately, when I talk to any organization that's trying to decide around cloud, it's like, these are the assets. I don't think we're prepared to have them outside of these walls yet.
Yeah. And ultimately, there's one class of people that doesn't care even where the data is. That's the users.
Sure.
They don't care. They just want to be able to get to their data.
Yeah. I have work to do.
Yeah.
Right? My job
show me my thing.
Yeah, my job wasn't to run reports. My job was to increase sales this month.
Correct.
And if these reports help me do that, that's great. And if they don't, then I don't need them.
Yeah.
And where they come from is almost secondary to the point. And having spent time on the security side of data as well, it's like they're not copying data onto USB sticks to spite you. They're trying to get their work done, and the current workflows are too difficult.
Yes.
And it's easier to rebel, so to speak, and actually get your work done than it is to try and comply and get your work done.
So the nefarious user who is just trying to do their job.
Yeah, oddly enough.
They're not the enemy. Yeah. It's the ones that are really being sneaky about it, because the ones who are just trying to get their job done are being pretty blatant about how they're doing it. So, at the end of the day, it's how do we empower users to do more and be able to have more access to things? You know, if you'd asked me 5 years ago, would I say just give people rights to data and let them work with it? Never in a million years. Are you kidding me? I'm never going to let you do that. You know, Jason of 5 years ago is looking at the world and going, no. I don't trust people.
Yeah.
And I still don't have to, which is the nice thing.
Yep.
I give them read-only access to things, and now we can work with the data. They're not able to manipulate it in Power BI, which is really nice. Whereas in the old days when I'll give you a copy of a spreadsheet, and then you can go and often massage the data.
Right.
Now you can't really massage. You can manipulate the view of it,
yep.
but it's still federated real live data that
That will,
is active.
By that nature, be able to be rerun on new data at any time.
Correct.
And be just part of the equation overall. And, you know, those massaging tools are still out there. You just don't actually alter the underlying data. You tweak into your model.
Correct.
Which the side effect of that is there's also evidence of how you're shaping the data rather than really fabricating a lie.
Agreed.
You know, I think we get into that trap, and it's like, I like protecting the data and giving them a filtered view.
Yeah.
Like they don't actually want everything. They just want to view things. And
correct. The more they build that up. They want to be able to do their job in the right way, because if they know where they're failing, then they can correct it. And if they know that they're doing really well, then they can keep doing that. And it's a proper concept of how do I intelligently run my business?
What about bringing in other third-party data sets, some of the census data, geo data, stuff like that, that helps set context around internal business data? Do you have particular practices around that?
So, you know, Power BI happily has connectors for a lot of different things. We have the ability to go off and pull data in and be able to model properly. I mean, in the old Power Pivot world, we were doing that. You've taken that same concept and graduated it up and forward. And now we're able to create relationships and all of that. That's what the mashup language is all about, is being able to pull that data together, be able to look at it in the right way, create the right relationships, and then visualize it and be able to actually work with that data and know not only am I doing the right thing, but what is this, a trend that is out there? So if you buy third-party data to know, well, what are sales like for others? And you buy sales data about other markets and whatnot, you can mash that up against your own and know, oh, wow, I'm outperforming X, Y, and Z.
Right.
Without having to intermingle the data.
No.
It can live separately. And even if it's just a data source that you're connecting to, you're able to connect to that data as opposed to importing that data. We always want to connect to rather than trying to import. It pulls the information into a model that's refreshable and you can work with, as opposed to keeping everything local.
Well, and it might, I've certainly got mailing lists in the form of CSV files.
Oh, yeah.
And you probably want to load that into something a bit more robust, or certainly put it somewhere where it's safely backed up.
Yeah.
But I don't see a need to build a database for that stuff.
No. And there's a lot of fun stuff that we do. We do some really fun, tricky little bits with Flow and Twitter these days.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So we've built some dashboards for measuring. We did this the first time around the May 4th SharePoint event 2 years ago. Microsoft Flow got released the Friday before the event. And John and I sat down and we looked at Flow and went, we could probably do something really cool with this in Power BI. So we each independently sat down. I hadn't told each other we were going to do it. We each built something, and John looked at mine and he went, yeah, I'm not going to show you mine anymore. Let's go play with yours.
What you're doing.
So we went off and iterated on that. We spent about 16 hours over the course of the weekend, pulled in another, SharePoint MVP named Dave Feldman. The three of us all worked on it. We were all going to the event. And so we built something that allowed us to measure every tweet and see all of the tweets, do sentiment analysis against it as well, using some Azure components, use Stream Analytics, did a whole bunch of cool stuff data into an Azure SQL database. And we were able to mash all of that data up and see and actually show what the Twitter traffic was and what people were saying, who were, the most tweeted, what were the things that were being talked about. It actually ended up on Jeff Teeper's desk. He took it up to Satya.
Wow.
And at the event, the Flow folks, the Flow team was there, and they looked at us and they went, That's really cool. Can we use that? And one of the Microsoft folks that was there specifically for community engagement and measuring, and he was responsible for the Twitter handles
right.
of SharePoint and Office 365. He told us it actually in the program that he was using, because they had so many tweets, their data crashed.
Well, they tipped over.
Yeah. And Power BI did not.
Nice.
So we were able to measure that.
How codey was that development, Jason?
There was a little bit of trickiness.
Sure.
A little bit of code.
But it's more like an algorithm here and an algorithm there kind of thing.
Yeah. So nowadays it's a lot easier. Back then it was just at the infancy.
Sure.
And we kind of tipped over Flow a little bit too in SQL Azure.
Pressed against the edges of that. Because Flow is supposed to be more of that plug your pieces together.
Correct. And nowadays Twitter is, plugs right into SQL Azure. So really easy to do now. The first time I did it, I actually plugged it into SharePoint Online.
Oh, yeah.
And put 140,000 rows into a SharePoint list.
Oh.
I got told, don't do that.
Don't do that.
That was naughty, Jason. But at the same time, we were flushing against Azure SQL, and now we're actually looking at Azure tables. And very simple to do for the just taking the data, taking it offline. Mm-hmm. But there's some tricky work that you had to do on the backside to say, what are these? Are retweets? And back then, some of it was coming across in JSON. And so we now have better ways of dealing with that.
Sure.
In Power BI, actually, they went off and cleaned it all up. So it's fairly simple to do now. But John has done some really great work. He took it and we talked about it. And I said, you guys take this and run with it. Mm-hmm. He has a company called TiGraph. So there's actually a TiGraph Twitter product out there that they do for free for the community.
Nice.
Did for Ignite, did for Inspire. So there are links out there I can give you for the show notes that you can go off and take a look at these things. Really cool. He's built some awesome dashboards of being able to slice and dice and see what was the most tweeted topic at Ignite.
And I'd love to sync that with stuff like a keynote. Mm-hmm. It's like they talk about this and you see a spike trailing that in Twitter around that topic. And then they talk about this and you get a new spike.
And that's exactly the way we were using it. And because we took it offline, we were able to take the origination of it. We said, here's the database, Microsoft. You can go do the analysis and look at it yourself.
Sure.
And they loved it. They were able to go off and see how what they were talking about really landed with people. And it worked out really well. And now it's really nice, Office 365, I think, was the third most tweeted thing at Ignite this year. Mm-hmm. Azure was number two, if I'm not mistaken.
Cool.
If I'm not mistaken, SharePoint was actually number one.
Wow. What's up with that?
So we're pretty happy about that.
Well,
being SharePoint guys.
Deep down, you're a SharePoint guy. And you guys have a show coming up in May.
We do. Used to be a show here in Las Vegas called SharePoint Conference that was put on by Microsoft. Mm-hmm. And Microsoft is actually going to headline the SharePoint Conference North America. It's a third-party conference. Mm-hmm. However, Microsoft is the top-tier sponsor.
Sure.
And they are going to do their May moment. This was talked about by Jeff Tepper during his keynote at Ignite.
Yep.
They've had a May moment for the last 2 years. They're coming and they're going to do their May moment here at the show, and they're going to live stream it and everything. But I'm the IT Pro Track chair for the show.
Nice.
It is shaping up to be something really awesome. We've got all of our pre-cons out at this point, post-cons out for IT Pro and Dev. If I'm not mistaken, the biz side of things is coming online as well.
Brilliant.
So we're really starting to see all of the sessions come up on the site. People are really starting to get excited about it.
It's nice to have a dedicated SharePoint show again to really be able to focus on it.
People have been asking for it. And in my session today, I always tell people that I'm the track chair here at Dev Intersections for SharePoint. And if they have any comments, I want to hear it.
Sure.
Because I always want to keep making the show better. You guys put on a great event. And
thank you.
I try to make sure that my side of it is as amazing as possible. And the one comment that was made was, I really like the show. It's great, but I wish there was a SharePoint show here.
Right.
I went, haha, there actually is going to be. So May 21st to the 23rd, we're going to be here at MGM.
Yep.
And there's 2 days of pre-con and a day of post-con as well. And it's SharePointNA.com is the website. Really exciting stuff. I'm going to be here, obviously. And, hoping Rackspace will be here in force as well.
I hope so, yeah.
Yeah, so it's going to be exciting.
Awesome. Jason Himmelstein, thanks so much for coming on Run As Radio.
My pleasure, sir.
And we'll talk to you next time on Run As Radio.